Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What did Jesus teach concerning the Passover? That is central to everything concerning true Christianity. Now, there are a lot of counterfeit Christianities out there with various aspects and things that they derive from the Bible, but they are known by their fruits. That is what they do, as Jesus said. But those who truly love God, truly believe God, truly are in covenant with Him, will keep the Christian Passover. Now, where do we get the name Christian? Well, number one, it's not the Passover of the Jews. It belongs to the Lord. And Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament. And His name is Jesus, the Christ. The Christ means the Messiah. So the Christian Passover, as we saw, Christian is derived from the word to be a follower of Christ. To walk in His footsteps, to do as He did, to live by every word of God, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. To be in covenant with God. And the new covenant is based upon the Passover day of 30 A.D., the 14th day of the first month according to the Hebrew calendar, and the fifth day of April according to the Julian Roman calendar of the time. This day is the day of destiny that has been spoken of and was the day determined from the foundation of the world that Jesus would be crucified. Now let's come to Matthew 26 and let's find out about the other two parts of the true Christian Passover, the partaking of the wine and partaking of the bread. The bread comes first and then the wine. So the three parts are, number one, foot washing. We've already covered that in the last segment. Number two, the eating of the bread. And number three, the drinking of the wine. And remember, we're going to see that it should not be called the Lord's Supper. It should not be called communion. It should not be called the Eucharist or the sacrifice of the Mass. Now, we'll cover the reason why a little later, but central to everything that is done in true Christianity is the Word of God and the Passover day on which Jesus was crucified. Now, the disciples, as we learned previously, did not know what was going to happen at this Passover. They didn't even comprehend that Jesus was going to be betrayed and delivered up and crucified on that day. Jesus tried to explain it to them several times, but they wouldn't listen. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to explain to His disciples that it was necessary for Him to go to Jerusalem and to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and to be killed and to be raised the third day. But after taking Him aside, Peter personally began to rebuke Him. Now, Peter heard this, and he didn't want that to happen to Jesus. He had no comprehension of what was going to go on. Neither did he realize that he was going to deny Christ three times in that Passover night. So Peter began to rebuke Christ, saying, "God will be favorable to you, Lord. In no way shall this happen to you." This is a key scripture to understand the workings of how Satan the devil can put a thought into someone's mind. And this is also very interesting, because just before that, Jesus told Peter, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said to him that flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him, but my Father who is in heaven. But notice when Peter wanted to take things into his own hands. He was subject to one of the thoughts of Satan the devil on the basis of doing good. Oh, Lord, this won't happen to you. God will be favorable to you. Which shows he didn't understand that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament. He didn't understand that he was going to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He had to learn that during the 40 days after the resurrection that Jesus taught the disciples. Now notice what Jesus said when Peter did this. Then he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Ooh. Think of that. See, because Satan wanted Peter. He wanted him so bad. Because Satan knew that with his pagan Christianity coming, he needed someone named Peter. Because that was the name of the high priest, Pethor, or interpreter. And we find the account, which we'll see later, that Jesus said, "Satan has desired to have you, Peter, to sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may be strengthened. And when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." So here Peter's not converted here. So Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me because your thoughts are not in accord with the things of God, but the things of men." Now think about that. Now let's come to Matthew, the 26th chapter. So he tried to tell them. There are several other accounts in Mark and in Luke showing that he tried to tell them what was going to happen, and they didn't understand it. It was over their head. After all, this was the Messiah. This was the Christ. This was the one who was going to lift the Roman occupation and save all the Jews. Well, that's not why he came. He came to save the world. And he came as the sacrifice of God, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever may believe in him may not perish but may have everlasting life. Everyone likes to hear that scripture, but everyone likes to use it so that they can continue in their way, just like Peter, thinking they're doing good, and still receive the blessing of God. Listen, you can't receive the blessing of God unless you do what God says. All right, Matthew 26 and verse 17. "Now on the first day of the unleavened," that was the Passover day, the first day in which unleavened bread was required to be eaten, and all leaven was to be removed out of the homes by that day, and the day began at sunset. "The disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you desire that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said to them, 'Go into the city to such a man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" Again, I draw your attention. It was not the Lord's Supper. It was not communion. It was not the Eucharist. Jesus is the one who instituted the Christian Passover because he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. And to be a Christian means you follow in the footsteps of the Messiah, Jesus. Now let's go on. "Then the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And after evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they were eating," now notice, they were finishing the Old Testament Passover. Jesus had to have the lamb, the bitter herbs, the unleavened bread to finish off the Old Testament Passover. He was the one who instituted it when the children of Israel were in Egypt, so that the firstborn would be spared. Now, there are many parallels that we can get out of that episode there as recorded in Exodus, the 12th chapter. Now then, if it's going to be changed, and here is a tremendous lesson to learn. If anything concerning the laws and commandments of God are going to be changed, only God can do it. No man, no preacher, no minister, no pope, no bishop, no evangelist, no so-called apostle. Only God. And Christ was God manifested in the flesh. So therefore, he had the authority to change it. Now let's understand this. Anytime there is a change in the New Testament concerning the laws or commandments of God, it is not an abolition. It is an increased spiritual requirement that is far more binding than the letter of the law. Now, that's a principle to understand. Just to give you a quick sidebar, circumcision in the flesh was the old covenant. Circumcision of the heart, which is a higher standard, is the new covenant. Didn't do away with circumcision. It instituted circumcision of the heart, which is greater, because circumcision of the heart takes place when there is conversion with the Spirit of God. So here, Jesus began to institute the new covenant. Verse 21, and as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you shall betray me. And being sorely grieved, each one of them began to say to him, am I the one, Lord? But he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish, he shall betray me. Now then, hold your place here, because we're coming to John 13. The question is, when did Judas leave? Well, we find in John the 13th chapter that he left after foot washing, but before the bread and wine. We find this right here in John 13, verse 21. And as he was saying these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, saying, truly, truly, I tell you, one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, wondering of whom he was speaking. They didn't know. Now one of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, which was John, was leaning on Jesus' chest. And so Simon Peter motioned to him to ask who was the one of whom he was speaking. Then he leaned back on Jesus' chest and asked him, who is it, Lord? Then Jesus answered this way. He didn't answer by name. He answered by action. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I shall give a sop after I have dipped it. And when he dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. And after the sop, Satan entered into him, because Satan put it in his mind to betray him. And now Satan possesses him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, the disciples didn't understand what he said to Judas. Coming back here to Matthew 26. This becomes important. And always remember, Satan likes to get someone who is his agent in a place of high authority within his church to betray, to bring in false doctrine, to bring in wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's what happened to those who professed Christianity, but who were not in true covenant with God through baptism, repentance, receiving the Holy Spirit, and partaking faithfully of the true Christian Passover on the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Those who do that belong to Christ and are faithful and understand. Those who do not do that are not Christian. They are counterfeits. They are fakes. They are frauds. Now, they don't realize it. They think they're good, upstanding people, but they're not in the standing before God that they should be to be true Christians. See, because no one can add to or take away from or change the law of God unless God himself does that. That's why it's important that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, changed the Passover ceremony. Now, this is what he says of Judas, verse 24. The Son of Man goes, as it has been written concerning him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him if that man had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Am I the one, Master? And he said to him, You have said it. Then he left. And as they were eating, now here comes the institution of the broken unleavened bread. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body. Now, we'll explain that a little later next time, because understanding about the body of Jesus Christ. See, the Catholics claim that in the Eucharist, the literal blood and literal flesh of Jesus Christ comes into the bread and into the wine at the command of the priest. You know why that's impossible? Because Jesus was resurrected from the dead and is an immortal spirit being. He no longer has any flesh or blood. And furthermore, he would not obey any command of any priest preaching and praying and commanding that God put his presence in the bread and in the wine, because that's not how God works. He will obey no man. Well, if that sounds a little harsh, I'm just telling you the truth. If you want the truth, you want to love God, you go by the Bible. You become a scripturalist. You prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. This is my body. We'll see in the other account that is given for you. Because we will see, without his broken body and without the beating, the scourging, and the lacerations that he took and the shedding of his blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Now, verse 27, and he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, All of you drink of it, for this is my blood, symbolic of his blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. Now, the cup contained wine, not grape juice. In those days, at the time of Jesus Christ, there was no refrigeration for keeping grape juice. Grape juice was taken from the grapes, and they're harvested in the fall. Passover is in the spring. Can only be wine. And remember, Jesus turned water into wine, and he had six huge jugs of water that were combined about 160 gallons, and he transformed it into wine at the wedding in Cana. So all of those of you who all your life took grape juice and you thought you were doing the Lord's will, really, you see how people get deceived by following along and practicing what men teach? Now let's come to Mark 14. Let's see the parallel account here. Let's pick it up here in verse 22, Mark 14. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. had to be the body of Christ. And he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many." Now, let's talk about the body of Christ. Hebrews 10 teaches us very clearly, because it is true. If you have direct access through the new covenant to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above for the forgiveness and remission of your sins, then you don't need any animal sacrifices. You don't need a temple on earth, because each one of us with the Holy Spirit in us, we are a temple of God. And that's what it means to be under grace. But here, Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it talks about the prophecy of Christ. After he said here, verse 4, "But it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. For this reason, when he comes into the world," that is, the Lord God of the Old Testament manifested as God in the flesh, "he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have prepared a body for me to do the will of God and become that sacrifice.'" Now, we'll talk about this even more, because there is a lot all wrapped up in the true Christian Passover. You need to understand it. You need to realize that unless you come to real repentance, and unless you come to full baptism by water immersion, unless you have counted the cost and you give yourself totally to God, and by that baptism in full water immersion, you become part of the new covenant, and you cannot partake of the Passover until you become part of the new covenant, and that's the only way it's going to occur. Now, you see how different that is than the world. All right, let's come to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and let's see the account there. Because we find something very interesting here. We find that the blood was poured out for the remission of sins of many, and then we find it is applied individually, which is how it is. Everyone who repents and accepts Jesus Christ truly the way God says you need to do it, not a little pity patty cake, that you get your eyes to the pastor, and when he says, "Repeat this little prayer after me, Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I accept you as my Savior." Voila, Jesus is in your heart. A fake, a counterfeit, a false ceremony. You are no more a Christian than the ants crawling on the floor of the church. When you're really dealing with the Word of God, you need to understand this. It is the truth. And every addition or subtraction or tradition that takes away or adds to the Word of God is a lying addition of men and must be repented of and must be forsaken. Christ, God manifested into flesh, died for you. Now let's come here to Luke 22nd chapter. Verse 19. "And he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me.' And in like manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" And that is for the remission of sins for many and for you. That's how the sacrifice of Christ is applied to each individual. Now, there is great meaning in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And it is only through the continuous practice of the new covenant ceremony of the Christian Passover that you remain in covenant with God. And every year, because this is taken once a year, the Passover day occurs once a year, to do it every Sunday, many times on Sunday, to do it the first Sabbath of the quarter, to do it any time you choose other than what God has said is not correct, and God does not accept it. It is not the true Christian Passover. So what you need to do is where we started out with this, and we'll continue on because there's a whole lot more to talk about the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, you see. You need to put aside all the things of men. You need to repent of those things. All of those things that you thought were good. All of those things that you thought were pleasing to God. Because the preacher told you so and told you in the pulpit. And told you that the law was done away and this is what we do now. And that's what they do then. You see, that's why we are restoring original Christianity for today. What did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach? What did they write? What are we to do today? And the Christian Passover is the central key. Now, what we will learn is this as we go on. Because this is the central key, do you think that it is any great mystery to understand all the heresies and lies and false things that the pseudo-Christians and false prophets have poured out upon the Christian Passover and obeying and loving God the way that we should? That's why we have church at home. You need to take the time. Get your nose into the Bible. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. If you want a really good Bible to study from, you get the Bible, the Holy Bible, in its original order. We have a special offer for you that you can get it. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying so long, everyone.